Okay, so we're here talking about the Israeli-Palestinian Confederation with some new topics and some of the same topics. So how do you see the Israeli-Palestinian Confederation becoming a reality?
Well, I think it's a lot easier than you most people think. The difficulty is not to create it. The difficulty is to have people know about it. Because if people know that there is another way to make peace, because it's been inculcated in us for years, ever since I remember myself, that the only solution to the Israeli-Palestinian Confederation, to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, is to separate and segregate between Israelis and Palestinians, what they call the two-state solution.
Yeah.
And whoever you talk to, most people you talk to, probably the large majority, they'll tell you, the solution is two-state. It's just we need to agree on a border. Well, it hasn't happened. They did not agree on a border. Okay?
Right.
So...
Or aren't there borders, but there's still tension? There's still violence?
No, there is no border. Uh-huh. There is a... Between Gaza and Israel, there is a wall or fence, okay? But it's not internationally recognized border. Gaza is not known as a... It's not its own state.
Yeah.
It's basically a very, very small area that is surrounded by Israel by a wall and a fence and by Egypt. And it's not allowed to have its own airport, its own seaport, and it's basically using Israel's economy. It's part of Israel's economy, using Israel's money, electricity. I don't want to say using. I'm saying it's part of Israel, but it's surrounded by a wall. So everyone, it's been inculcated in us that there is only one solution, and that solution is to separate between the Israelis and the Palestinians. So if people are aware that there is another way to resolve it, then it will become a reality.
But they have to be deeply aware. They have to know it right to... They have to know it's in detail. Because if you just hear about it once or twice...
Well, if there is an awareness, if there is a campaign that lasts about a year, then there will be a discussion about it.
Yeah, it's like a social... It's like it permeates through the culture.
Yeah. And there will be a discussion about it. And the discussion will be through articles in the papers, through discussion over the radio, magazines. People will discuss and they'll get deeper and deeper into it.
Yeah.
Okay. And a lot of people are going to object to it. There's no, on both sides, the Israelis and the Palestinians, they're going to object to it because they really are afraid of peace.
Yeah.
They don't want peace. They're afraid of peace. But those that are realistic, that understand that the two-state solution has not worked and probably will never work, and that the one-state solution is not going to work because you need to dismantle the Israeli government and the Palestinian governments, including the Hamas government. It's not going to work. You cannot dismantle those governments. Once you realize that there has to be a solution, and the people that are in charge, the governments, are not only incapable of giving a position, a solution, but they are also part of the problem, really. They are the problem. So once you realize that, hey, do I want to live in this condition forever, or do I need a solution?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is there are enough people, in my opinion, 20 to 40%, who would agree, who would vote in an election to create a third government for the people of Israel and Palestine together. All you need is probably a year or two of campaign to bring that to the surface.
Why did you get to the number of 20 to 40 people that would, you think would support it?
You mean 20 to 40%?
20 to 40%, yeah.
Because whenever I speak in a group, if it could be a group, I always ask how many of you would vote.
Yeah.
And I always get at least 40%. At least. But, you know, if you build it, they
will... But it's also in a different country. Maybe here there's that ratio, but do you think the ratio would be similar in Israel and Palestine?
Yeah, I actually think it would be higher.
Israel. It could be.
Either
way, I mean...
The election would be... Once a person is faced with the choice of voting or not voting, to say I am not voting when I can do it over the phone or over the internet, I actually think it's much harder to say I'm not voting than... Look, just the creation of an election, the election platform,
yeah,
just to create that, to divide the whole area into 300 districts, and to have parliament members, Israelis and Palestinians, in each district. So if you, let's say you live in a district that is exclusively Israeli, or exclusively Palestinian, or mixed.
Yeah.
This whole thing changes now, because now you're not only deciding, do I want peace or not? You have a person in your district that is running to be in the parliament.
Yeah.
And he says, well, this is my agenda, and this is how I intend to serve the district in the best way. So to some people will ignore. But I think a lot of people are not going to ignore. And they will vote for a parliament district, especially if there are several.
Yeah, I mean, I can see...
If there are several candidates.
I can see people voting for it, for sure. So the main thing you're saying is that if you push more awareness, that is the main...
Yes.
That is the main thing.
Yes, awareness. And how do you get awareness? See, my focus right now is not to create an election. That's too big of a focus, too big of a deal at this time. Okay.
Right.
My focus is to try to get some newspaper or some journalist of whatever media that is respected.
Yeah.
Just like the Me Too movement. Women were harassed.
Yeah.
Before the Me Too movement.
Right. I mean, in the 1920s, they couldn't vote, right?
Yes.
Or 1920,
I'm not sure when women were.
Yeah. But it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. But the Me Too movement got its publicity.
Yeah.
Was elevated.
Yeah.
By an article.
Uh-huh.
And if there is a journalist out there, I think that this is a very important subject, and it could catch on fire.
Yeah. And also the country was ready for a Me Too movement.
Yeah, the country was ready for a Me Too movement.
I think the culture needs to be ready for the change.
Well, but you can also create the change. You can't, you need to move ahead of the people, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
So the Me Too for Israel-Palestine is, why is it that after so many years, decades, there is no other solution that is being proposed other than the only solution that failed again and again and again? I mean, look, if you had a plumber coming to your house to fix a toilet for 70 some years, at one point it's worth having an article about you. Why are you repeating to have this plumber over and over again?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it takes every cultural change. It takes like a expansion of awareness.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, same with all the changes in America.
All over the world.
Yeah.
You know? The state of Israel was created by Zionism, which was a book and articles written by Herzl and others who created awareness. But it goes all over the place. I mean,
do you think Zionism in Israel as a Jewish state is a problem?
Zionism reflects fear.
Yeah.
Because what did Herzl say?
He's saying it's a Jewish country.
Well, no. Before that, Zionism started with Herzl. He's considered to be the father of Zionism. He basically said, hey, Jews are not going to be accepted. Anti-Semitism will stay forever. Jews will always be hated. And therefore, they need to move to another country and to have their own state so that they can defend themselves. But what happened? They moved to another country, and now they are, Herzl, scared them of the anti-Semites.
Yeah.
But now the Jews are scared of the Palestinians and the Arabs. So you can't really live in the atmosphere of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You have to overcome fear. And the way to overcome fear is to say, I'm not below anybody, and I'm not superior to everyone. I am fighting for equality for everyone, including me. So my hero is Martin Luther King. So Martin Luther King said, we are not moving to Africa. We are not inferior people that need to accommodate the white people because they are racist.
Yeah.
The white people need to change, and they need to overcome their racism.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing with Herzl. Herzl did the opposite. He said, we need to accommodate the anti-Semites, and we would leave the area that we lived in Europe, mostly in Europe, for thousands of years in order to accommodate racism.
Yeah.
So I think that an Israeli-Palestinian confederation basically says we are all equal, we're fighting for the rights of everyone to be equal, and we should not be afraid of each other.
Yeah. So what do you think is the core of the conflict?
Huh. Wow.
I mean, is that the core of the conflict?
I don't know that I am. The core of the conflict I always think that it's identity.
Yeah, I was going to say ideology.
No, there is a difference between ideology and identity. I think that
the identity of a Jewish state,
the identity of a Jewish person, and the identity of a Muslim person, they are afraid. I don't know if that's the core of the problem, but I think it's the reason why we are not able to make peace, is the fear that the peace would diminish or change our identity.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you think it's that people are even conscious of that fear?
I don't think so.
You think they don't realize?
I don't think so, because they say it all the time. I mean, you know, both the Israelis and the Palestinian people, they claim to be brave people, but at the same time, they say we are afraid of the other side. Well, if you are brave,
yeah,
then you shouldn't be afraid of the other side. You should be welcoming the other side. You should be willing to meet and learn about the other side, and let them learn about you, and ask for equality. Equality for yourself and equality for the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of people in the comments section say that they think that America is making it worse. So, do you think the U.S. can help, or do you think that the U.S. is making the situation worse because of their support for Israel?
Well, the U.S. has the most amazing constitution. Mm-hmm. It has the most amazing history of civil rights, of equality, of separation between church and state. It insists on that, and rightly so, in order to have a...
Well, other countries have that too.
Yeah, but you're asking me about the U.S.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is sending arms, exporting arms to Israel,
yeah,
does not support Israel. But exporting democracy, and for the life of me, I don't understand why the U.S. that supports, not only support, it created almost, maybe France before it, but maybe other countries. I'm not a historian. But the U.S. is founded on those principles of equality, of civil rights, of separation between church and state. Look, the U.S. federal government is managing 350 million people.
Yeah.
In 50 states. So why is the U.S. not exporting that expertise?
Yeah.
Why is the U.S. not saying, hey, you need to learn to live together under a constitution? Mm-hmm. I mean, there, between all the Israelis and the Palestinians that live there, it's about 14 million people. How much could they hate each other?
Yeah.
You know? So why is this water?
It's coffee.
Oh.
But it's empty.
So why is the U.S. cannot insist? You know, I for the life of me, I don't understand that.
Why they don't insist on?
Why are they not insisting on exporting democracy, equal rights, separation between church and state, the right to travel? I mean, they're both the Israelis and the Palestinians are ready for democracy.
Well, I mean, I don't think America can force it.
No, it cannot force it. Of course it cannot.
But you think they're not encouraging it?
Look, one statement from a U.S. president which said, I support a democracy between the Israelis and the Palestinians. I support an Israeli-Palestinian confederation. I mean, that could change everything. You know, have you heard the expression, when the U.S. sneezes, Israel catches a cold? Basically, it means that both sides are very, very aware of what the U.S. is thinking. And
yeah.
You know.
So you think the U.S. isn't even considering it?
Yes, I don't think they are considering it. It's look, there are 35,000 people working for the State Department.
Yeah.
There are hundreds or thousands of people working in many, many other government offices. They are all aware of the principles of democracy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, It's like a bunch of doctors that say we are vegetarians and we are against exporting meat or against eating meat because we think that meat is harmful.
Uh-huh.
But then they export it to other people. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but so you think that America can't force it, but they could support it, and they're not supporting it yet?
Look, I think that one article in the New York Times could make a change. One senator, you know, I met with Senator Mitchell, Senator George Mitchell. He was Obama's envoy to try to make peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. I met with him in New York City in his office. And all he was talking about is two states. He wrote a book about it. I mean, if he came to Israel and the Palestinians and say, hey, you know, two state is possibly one solution, if he said that. But I'm open to other solutions.
Yeah.
I'm open to democracy. I'm open to confederation. I'm open to a mutual constitution.
Yeah.
So it would make a huge difference. Look, one article in the New York Times or the LA Times or French Le Monde or Pravda or Haaretz or the major could change the, you know, could make a change.
So the IPC is a paradigm shift. It's kind of like, you could think of it as like something that people just don't think about.
Yeah. It's been inculcated in us to think of one way to, I mean, why is the U.S. that is so much against segregation,
right,
in the U.S. actually proposes that, actually recommends segregation based on religion and national identity for Israel and Palestine?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? Could you give me an answer?
No, I mean, that's the big thing right there.
Yeah.
why does the U.S. propose segregation between Israelis and Palestinians?
Yeah. You know, if you ask any senator, any politician in America, are you against segregation? They all say, yes, of course we're against segregation. But why are you recommending it for the Israelis and the Palestinians?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I gotta research more to see what people would think about, or if there are. Do you ever think about, like, if there's other plans that are saying the same thing?
Yeah, I researched them. I've met with people.
Yeah. Think that they're proposing what you're proposing?
No, they're not. They are...
Or a version of it.
They are proposing... Everything comes to the other proposals. Everything comes to how to divide land. Land is supreme to them.
Yeah.
And I say people are supreme, not the land. You don't take the land with you. You cannot sell the land. You cannot die and take it, the land with you. We are here temporarily. The land stays. We are just walking on this land. And we need to walk on it and be respectful of others.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we talked about before, the plan is not dividing land. It's about
people. When you say, let's divide the land first, you're basically saying, let's start with the most difficult issue that we know is never going to work.
Yeah.
To me, that means let's not make peace. You know? If you and I had... an agreement, or I mean a disagreement.
Yeah.
And I said to you, because I am stronger, and I said, fine, you know, I'm willing to resolve the issues between you and me, but first we need to do something that is very difficult to do, that I know we'll never be able to do. Mm-hmm. But I say it in order to look rational.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what's going on over there. But, you know, the Palestinians are also to be blamed, too, because the Palestinians are playing along there with this game. They are saying, they've been forced to say that they're in favor of two states, but what they... What they're doing is they say, we want the border to be a 1967 border, which they know Israel will never allow them.
Yeah.
The Palestinians, the Israelis say, we want, they don't even say that two states anymore, but they're basically saying, look, Palestinians, you are so weak, we are not even going to offer you a state.
Thing.
So they're both aiming to get as much positive publicity or PR, but they are, I'm talking about the governments, they're not really about resolving the issue. The issue is how to resolve it. They're not interested in it. In fact, they are interested in keeping the conflict.
But so Palestinians are mostly in the West Bank and Gaza, right?
It depends how you define. In the West Bank and Gaza, you have Palestinians that are not your Israeli citizens.
Yeah.
But you have Palestinians
throughout.
In pre-1967 that are called Arab Israelis also. That live in Israel, and they are Israeli citizens.
So do you think it's possible that the solution will just slowly happen on its own? Do you think that they're slowly just blending together anyways?
Yeah. They are blending together.
But there's still a lot of conflict.
No, they're blending together, but the Palestinians in Israel, in the West Bank and Gaza and to are they're really living in an apartheid state.
What does that mean?
It means that some people have much less rights than others. Mainly, yeah. They don't have the right to travel freely. They don't have the right. They're not citizens. They don't have the right to vote. They are not. They don't have the right to like be represented by a government. They are basically walking as second-class citizens that are subjected to laws that they themselves never agreed to, never have representatives agree to it. They never had a chance to say yes or no.
Yeah.
Now, the Palestinians, they have what is called like the Palestinian authorities, which is a kind of like a government, but it has very limited power. It does not have the power to create institutionalized states, like the currency, the right to travel, the right to free travel. They are, and that's both in the West Bank and Gaza. They are completely under Israeli control.
Yeah.
But some areas of lives have been transferred to the ownership or to the authority of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas in Gaza. Mm-hmm. But they don't really have full rights as citizens should be.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess, do you think that if this IPC confederation doesn't happen, that another version of something similar would happen eventually? Like, do you think this is kind of the formula that eventually will be found?
Well, it depends who would create it.
Well, who would be the best to create it?
It has to be people. First of all, it has to be people outside the government.
Yeah.
Outside the government of Israel, outside the government of the Palestinian, because they
have their own interests.
They have their own interests. They are going to make it in their own flavor, and they'll never agree to it. It would just be...
Yeah.
I think that the formula we have is a very, very good formula. And I haven't really been, you know, I get a lot of objections and a lot of people saying bad things, but not a single one. I mean, not really anyone saying what's wrong with the Constitution that we support.
Right.
Not a single one. There's no examination of the Constitution we support.
No. Which Constitution?
The Constitution that we have a Constitution. We support a Constitution that says that there will be a government.
Oh, okay, the IPC Constitution.
IPC Constitution. You know, and it delineates how the elections will take place, how the parliament will be elected, how they will pass legislation, and who will be the president and vice president, one Israeli, one Palestinian, and they will rotate.
Yeah, I mean, democracy flourishes not just in the U.S., it just seems to flourish in other countries. It seems to be a natural progression.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, it's the thing that makes sense, but not sure that it's progressing very well. You know? But even though I studied international relations when I was at UCLA, and I'm not really an expert on world democracy.
Well, it makes sense that the democratic way would flourish after the way that it is now.
It makes perfect sense. So a lot of people say democracy is not a good system because it gives people that are not very well educated or informed, it gives them the right to make a decision. But I think they're missing the point, because when someone, I think a democracy,
well, maybe it's not the perfect system, maybe it still has room to grow.
Yes, it has room to grow, a lot of room to grow. But see, when you cast your ballot, when you vote, you get a sense of belonging to a system.
Yeah.
You get a sense that you have some say in who will be your parliament member, who will make the laws that you are subjected to. And that's very, very important. If you do not have that sense,
yeah,
if it's being imposed on you, you're just walking around and other people creating laws, then you lose complete trust in the system. You don't have trust in the system.
Yeah.
And that's very dangerous. That's why I'm saying the Palestinians do not have, they're not part of the system that controls them. And that's awful.
Yeah.
That's the...
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So we'll pick it up next time.
All right. Thank you so much.
Some good topics.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.